We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Paul Dottino is brought to you by United Healthcare and their Oxford products, by RE/MAX. Visit RE/MAX.com to find your home and agent now, by CSEA, Local 830. We work for you. And by Fox Ridge Resort Casino, the wonder of it all, Paul Dottino. Hi, Paul.
Happy holidays, fellas.
Same to you, Paul.
Happy holidays.
Yes, yes, indeed.
So,
thank you much. Nice day here at the Meadowlands.
Good. Not bad.
Game mattered, is Odell playing?
I think we're going to find out a lot more about Odell Beckham Jr. tomorrow. My understanding is that the earliest he might actually try to do something would be no sooner than Thursday, perhaps on Friday. And if he was able to get through everything on Friday and the doctors felt good about it, then he would be ruled healthy and he would play. So I'm not ruling him out yet. Maybe other people are. I'm not. And I know that he wants to play in the worst way. He's being held back by the trainers. He's not being held back by himself. And I know Coach Shermer has made it very clear that if they get the go, he is going to play.
Mm. So you wouldn't be extra cautious because now the Giants are out of it?
Well, again, cautious. It's not about my judgment or coach's judgment or Odell's judgment. It's about the medics. The Giants have always been an organization that valued the trainers and the doctors' opinions far beyond anybody else's. If they say, you know what, it's healed up and whatever was causing the bleeding and the blood in his quad, if that's not an issue anymore, well, then it's not an issue. Then he plays.
If
there was still somewhat of a risk, well, now it's a different story. Now the medics have to say, well, we think he can play, but it could get worse. Well, now you have to weigh a different equation. I don't know that that's going to be the case. I mean, again, if they clear him, then he's clear.
So, but you're saying it's strictly medical. It's not based at all on the importance of a game.
No, it's not, Evan. Right. It's not. I have no reason to believe that it is based on the one loss record or winning or losing a game when you're out of playoff contention. It is my opinion, based on what I know from Coach Shermer and what he has said, and also my relationship with Odell Beckham Jr. All parties except the doctors right now want him to play in this game.
Mm. Interesting. Well, the games matter for the other teams. I mean, it's certainly a big game for the Colts, and more than likely it's going to be a big game for the Cowboys when they play them next week as well. So even though the game doesn't mean anything to the Giants, you know, it does mean something to the teams they're playing.
Well, the game also does mean something to Odell Beckham Jr. because this is a guy who was incredibly crushed emotionally and mentally when the game was taken away from him last year when he was injured. And this is someone who, as he has said to us probably about a dozen times over the course of the season, everything that he works for during the offseason, he invests six figures in offseason training, nutrition, and guys to get his cardio ready and all that other stuff that he wants to do to get ready for the year. He is one of those guys who literally lives for the game. He loves the game, the competition on Sunday, to be on that field. He thrives on it. For him to miss a game makes him, you know, just hollow inside. So when I tell you he really wants to play, I'm not kidding you. The doctors have to hold him out.
Looking back at the loss to Tennessee, what was the worst part? Was it the missed tackles? Was it the offense not being able to score a point? Was it the penalties? Where do you start with the horribleness of the game last
weekend? How many times have you heard me say it's a spider web or a long row of dominoes? I mean, everything in the NFL is intertwined, and everything for the Giants that went wrong could have gone wrong, did go wrong. I thought they played an absolutely horrible game last Sunday against Tennessee. And in spite of that, it was 7-0 at halftime, and they had the ball to open the third quarter, which meant even after two terrible quarters of football, they were still right there to attempt to do something. And instead, it just continued to snowball and got worse and worse and worse. I don't think anything really went right for them last week, period.
Not much, I'll say. A lot of penalties in this game, too. And, you know, like, you know, they couldn't tackle Derrick Henry. I mean, let's be honest, they couldn't tackle him the whole game, Paul.
Joe, they made him look like Earl Campbell.
They did. I absolutely did. You're 100% right.
And look, I get it. The previous week against Philadelphia, he ran for over 200 yards. So I understand
right.
that this is back-to-back
right.
weeks, that he's basically steamrolled through two NFL defenses. But I get it. He's a big guy. He's strong. He's got a great stiff arm. But up until these last 2 weeks, he had not run for more than 60 yards in any single solitary weekend. So, you know, I'm sorry. To me, the Giants as a whole just did not want to tackle him on Sunday.
Yeah.
That was the thing.
I mean, how many missed tackles
they
did
missed
you count
a ton of them.
On Sunday? There were tons of
them. I didn't even count them. But, you know, Evan, I'm glad you brought that up because back in the day, okay, and I'm talking about the Parcells era Giants. When I did my tape study, I always used to keep missed tackles as one of my stats, okay? And you could see people talk about turnover ratio being the most important stat in the NFL today. And I understand that because it's very indicative of a high percentage of a team winning or losing. Well, back in the day, during the golden era of pro football, back in the 80s and early 90s, if you had double digits and missed tackles, you could almost mark that down as a loss. I mean, you know, 6, 7, 8 was about the limit. But once you started seeing 11, 12, 13, 14 missed tackles in a game, you almost knew for sure that you were going to lose that game. It was a very, very critical stat. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I stopped computing missed tackles a few years ago because it was constantly 16, 17, 18, 20. It became embarrassing. And I finally said, you know what? This league is so full of bad tackling, it's not even worth keeping the stat anymore. So I actually trashed that part of my tape study. I don't do it anymore.
Wow. That's unbelievable. Talking, of course, to Paul DiTino, what do you expect motivational-wise from the Giants here? As I said, you know, these last 2 weeks, the game is going to mean something for the team they're playing. The Cowboy game is going to be, God knows half the stadium is going to be Cowboy fans for that game. You know that. I mean, what can I expect them? I mean, am I getting full motivation here in your mind from the Giants the last 2 weeks?
I think only the individual players can answer that, Joe. I know that Coach Shermer has a very strong motivation, as does Dave Gettleman, the GM, because everything that they talked about when they won 4 out of 5 coming out of the bye was about building a winning mentality, a winning philosophy. You keep hearing that term, culture. I think it's an overused term. But I do understand the emotion, the mentality, the philosophy, the way you go about your business. I guess all of those things kind of define this generic word, culture, that everybody seems to want to use nowadays.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I do think there is a – look, I'm going to go back to Parcells again. He used to tell us, fellas, I believe in the philosophy of results. Winning breeds winning. And losing breeds you know what.
Yep.
And I do think there is value in that. And so if the Giants are to have gained anything from winning those 4 out of 5, they've got to show over the course of these last 2 weeks that they're fighters. Even if they don't win these two games, they just got knocked down onto the canvas in an embarrassing performance against the Titans. They can't do that again over the course of the next 2 weeks, because that undoes a lot of the good that they tried to build in the previous month. If they really did build anything by winning 4 out of 5, okay, character, emotion, mentality, philosophy, well, then they better go out there and show that these last two games are going to be battles for the other team. Even if they come up short,
right,
they got to show that they're a real football team that's going to go out there and fight. At least that's in my opinion.
No.
So, in answer to your question, it's going to be up to the individual players whether or not they want to do it. I know the organization and the coaching staff is looking for that. They expect it.
And they got a chance to be spoilers, like Joe said. I mean, it's not like they're facing irrelevant teams right now, that's for sure.
There's no question. And look at the, you know, what Luck is certainly a comeback player of the year candidate between him and Beckham and J.J. Watt.
Yep.
I don't know which one of those three is going to win it, but you got to admire what he's been able to do. Of course, he's got 3 first-round draft picks on his offensive line,
one second-round
draft pick on his line.
Yeah.
And a guy they picked up off waivers from Seattle who was a 4th-round pick. Isn't it amazing? You know, Luck is one of those stationary quarterbacks like Eli Manning who got beaten up, got knocked out. A lot of people thought maybe it wasn't going to work out for him, primarily because of injury. And the Colts were able to rebuild their offensive line. And now all of a sudden, Andrew Luck is winning football games again. Just another one of the billion pieces of proof to tell you it all starts in the trenches.
I'm going to throw something else at too, because you know, and you know this as well as anybody, and I go over this constantly. Okay, let's not minimize what Frank Reich has done there. Okay, because they got a new coach in there, and you know this as well as anybody, man. The coach in football, you know, you got to have a head coach. You know that.
Yeah, Frank Reich has done a masterful job, and one of the really smartest things that he did. Remember when McDaniel was supposed to have taken that job and then backed out?
How could we forget?
A lot of the quality guys that McDaniel had put on that staff remained on that staff.
Right.
For when Frank Reich came in, he's like, you know what? I like a lot of these guys he picked. These guys are smart guys. Could you imagine if after McDaniel stiffed the Colts, Reich had to start from scratch? Had he ripped it down and said, they're not my guys,
then
could've gone out on another search, he'd have been caught at the back end of the spectrum, just like Pat Shurmur was, and been forced to go through a much thinner pool of assistants.
Yeah. What do you make out of Loletta going back to not being active?
Well, I don't think there's any question about it that Pat Shurmur decided, as he saw what he saw, not only in that game a couple weeks ago, but as he saw things at practice and during the work week, you know, you get what you earn. And obviously he did not see whatever it is he needed to see. And I think it sends a message to Loletta that, hey, you're back to being number three again. Well, maybe you better work a little bit harder. Maybe you better do a little something to overcome whatever mistakes that you made last time. Sometimes guys get shifted on the depth chart, and again, I talk about Bill Parcells. It's pushing a button. It's a motivating factor.
Can you do you want to evaluate Shurmur through this first? You want to wait till the last two games, or do you just not want to evaluate him at all?
I've given you an early report on him. I guess you guys asked me about Shurmur and Gettleman about a month ago, and I told you what I thought then. I'd rather wait till the end of the season to give him a final grade. But, you know, these next two games, there are still some things that, you know, I think a lot of people want to see. Some people probably are looking for different things than I'm looking for, but there are things I'd like to see out of the Giants in the final two games of the season.
Well, here's the bottom line in football, more than any other sport. There's a huge difference between 5-11 and 7-9.
There
we
is.
View those seasons a little differently, so we'll see what they do against Indy and Dallas to wrap up.
Not to mention the draft choice position.
Well, that's significant.
You know what's funny, though, fellas? Does anybody realize, as the Colts, you know, now sit in a position where it looks like they're going to the playoffs and they're 8-6?
Maybe.
Does anybody realize that they were 1-5?
Oh, we realize it because the Jets were the team they beat. The Jets beat them to make them 1-5, and since then they've won 7 out of 8
and
games.
We thought they were all
exactly.
And I'm still shocked that happened.
And here's the thing about it, Joe.
No, we realize it.
Goes to show you about the funny math and how things work in the National Football League and how you really can't tell week to week. At the same time the Colts were 1-5, the Giants were 1-5. And everyone had said, okay, Giants are giving up for dead. As it turned out, they were, because they went to 1-7 before they finally started to turn the ship around. The Colts didn't wait. They were 1-5 when everybody put them in the recycle bin with the Giants and a bunch of other teams. And then they were able to turn their ship around quicker than a couple of other teams. And all of a sudden now, here they are, and they got themselves 8 wins, and they're staring at a possible playoff spot. So it just goes to show you, you know, everybody is so quick that first month or two of the season to write a team off. Now, you can't do that in today's NFL.
No,
there's too much mediocrity.
Look at the Texans. They were 0-3.
Yep.
I mean, they lost to the Giants.
Right.
They're 0-3. Yep. Now they may get a first-round bye.
Could be.
So.
Yeah, exactly. And really, when you think about it, Evan, you know, everyone wants to spew off the historic numbers. Oh, so many teams that finished 0-4, that were 0-4, started 0-4, didn't make the playoffs. How many teams that were 1-5 made the playoffs? How many teams that were 0-3 made the playoffs? You can chuck every single one of those stats in the toilet.
Yep.
Because in today's quicksand of mediocrity that is the NFL, virtually anything is possible. This is not your father's NFL.
No.
Okay? The golden era of the
Completely
NFL is
not.
Long gone.
Now, look, there was a time, Paul, and you know this, If you went into the final couple games of the season and you're playing, like the Giants coming up this week, you got a 5-9 team playing an 8-6 team, and that 8-6 team needs a game and the Giants are done. How many times have we seen that team lose to those kind of teams? Where you go you go back 35, 40 years ago, that didn't happen. If that team needed to win that game, they were never losing to a bad team that the game meant nothing to. You don't see it's not the same anymore like that.
No. There's so much of this game has changed, been watered down, and it's a damn shame, but it is what it is. I know the gamblers like it because there is so much parity and there's so much unpredictability. The NFL loves it because you have all these upsets all the way to the end of the season, you have so many teams that are still mathematically in the wild card hunt. Yeah, but the quality of play of football is not nearly what it was, period.
Well, indeed. You won't get my right. By the way, before I let you go, who's in the Super Bowl right now? Your thoughts?
You know, it's funny. I'm having a hard time not picking the Pittsburgh Steelers to go from the AFC.
Really?
I know. Yeah. Something about the Steelers, especially after the way they took care of the Patriots in that game the other day.
They didn't play a great game, man. The Patriots looked like the Jets in that game.
They scrapped it, though, Joe. I love teams that can sometimes win games even when they don't look good.
No, I understand.
You know?
Okay,
the gritty wins mean a lot to me.
All right, so you like Pittsburgh to come out. That's quite a call. And if that happens, I give you a lot of credit. And who in the NFC?
It's hard right now, even though the Rams are in a bit of a slump. It's hard not to go with them. But I'm going to go with the Saints. I do believe in Sean Payton. I think being there before was also a critical factor. So I'll go Saints against Steelers.
We shall see. Thank you, Paul.
We're going to see that game on Sunday. So that will be a preview of the Super Bowl in your mind.
I think it'll be very interesting.
All right, Paul. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Paul.
Always good to talk to you guys.
Be well.
Paul DiTino on the Giants.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.